Tony, you and I are going to have to work on that, son. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter number 24. Well, how many of you think that this year has come and gone quickly? It's been a strange year, has it not? You know, someone said, I'm glad to get 2020 over with because we'll start anew in 2021. But the fact of the matter is, nothing changes unless the Lord wants it to change. I've been wondering myself what the Lord is doing in all this. There's a lot that's gone down this year, a lot of strange things. Some people believe it's a lot of prophetic things. But I will say this, that it definitely gives you occasion to wonder. And I would tell you this too. Everybody that's so busy living, you better stop just a few minutes and make sure you're ready to die. Better be sure that you're ready to go. And tonight we want to look, and we want to talk a little bit about any of you bad at procrastination. And I do that sometimes, but I also try to be optimistic. I was thinking tonight, I've got a whole day to lose the weight I plan on losing this year. So I'm going to work hard at it tomorrow. And see if I can't accomplish it, okay? But anyway, Acts chapter number 24. Look, if you would, and let's begin reading in verse number 24. It says, and after certain days when Felix came down with his wife Drusilla, now just to introduce you to these two, kind of get you in background, Felix, he had been given a position here,
and he was a cruel leader.
He had been given a position here,
and he would utilize the Syrian troops to kind of
bulldoze his
way around
on the people. And
he didn't come
from a lineage of royalty. But he had married three women that all did. Now, Drusilla, she was 19 at this time. And you know some of her kin folks. Her great-grandfather was Herod the Great. He was the one that massacred the babies looking for the baby Jesus. Her great-uncle was Herod Antipas. He was the one that killed John the Baptist. Remember, married his brother's wife and took John the Baptist's head and put it on a platter? Then her dad, King Agrippa the First, in Acts chapter 12, he was the one that had killed James, and the worms eat him. Remember, that was her dad, and he killed James, the Apostle James, the first martyr in the New Testament church of the apostles, and so then, of course. Her brother was in chapter 26, where we'll learn of King Agrippa. That was her brother. He was actually King Agrippa the Second. And so to kind of get your
mind fixed upon her, she had a lot of history with the Jews.
She knew a lot about them. She had opportunity to know some history about it. And so she was well acquainted with some things that was going on. And Paul ended up being in prison. Him being a Roman citizen, he had appealed with that fact. And the Jews, some of the Jews, the scribes and so forth, had brought charges against him for blaspheming. They wanted him persecuted. They wanted him executed because of it. Because they claimed that he blasphemed. Before Felix. Now, in verse 22, let's know that Felix was familiar with some of these things. He was acquainted
with some of the argument there. But he also commended
in verse 23 that even though Paul stayed bound, he had liberty and everybody could come and visit him. So he pretty well knew Paul was innocent of what he's being charged with. But anyway, just remember, and I wanted you to kind of get fixed upon your mind, Felix there, him and his wife Drusilla, they were hungry for power. They loved to have the power. They loved to be able to do the things. And he was pretty cruel. He crucified thousands of both Gentiles and Jews. Verse 24 again. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, and that word righteousness means the way that he should have been living right before God, and temperance, which means self-control, and of course Felix had a problem with self-control, and judgment to come. The judgment was come where Paul, now remember, Paul's brought up, Roman citizen. He could have took time arguing the law why he should have been released as a Roman citizen, but his argument was not for that, but his opportunity was met with preaching the gospel. And he also was faithful to tell Felix and Drusilla the judgment that was going to come, and they were going to have to face the judgment of God in the future. So the Bible says that he reasoned with him, that means mind to mind, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, I want you to take note of that convenient, that little word convenient. We're going to get on a couple of thoughts, but the word convenient means that I'm going to do it in my time. I'm going to do it when I get ready to do it, and I'm going to do it whenever it's good for me. I cannot tell you how many people I've shared the gospel with that said that same thing to me in some form or fashion. They were just not ready for it, but when they got ready for it, they were going to do it. You've heard me talk about going out on a run and picking up my partner. He told me that 2 weeks before he was killed. And the whole time I was working on him, once I recognized who he was, all I could hear ringing in my ears was the fact that he wanted more convenient time. And how I'd wish that he had took the opportunity that was before him. Looking back here, he wanted more convenient season. A time when it was his timing, not somebody else's. Verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. And by the way, Felix was known for this. He was very greedy, and he would try to squeeze money out of prisoners when they would come and get what he could. And the Bible said he hoped that money should have been given him of Paul, and that he might lose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porticus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix willingly, to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And so tonight I want to look and I want to talk to you about putting things off to a more convenient season. I want everybody to pay attention just a moment, you young people as well. I want to ask you a question. If you're of age, were you old enough? I want to ask you, are you saved? Do you know in your heart that you're ready to go to heaven if something was to happen? If Jesus was to come back, have you been saved? Has your faith and trust been put in Christ? Some of you may be of older age and you have never made a profession of faith at all. If the Lord came back, you would be left behind. If something happened that you died, you would not go to heaven. I was listening to someone talk today, and he was someone that had sung some contemporary gospel songs, and he made this statement. He said, "Well, you don't have to worry about going to hell because there's not one." I thought, well, that's a good way of dreaming, but that's not the case. And so tonight, I want you to listen just a few minutes, because the devil, he tries at his best to get us to look for convenient times to do things. Some of us that are saved, we had things that we should have done and we wanted to do for the Lord that hasn't got done. We've known people that if the Lord was to come tonight, they would not be ready to go. And we failed to really spend any time praying and maybe sharing the gospel with them. There has been some people that I have visited, and immediately within 2 minutes, I knew that I just need to close my Bible and walk out the door. They had no interest in hearing what I had to say. And the gospel is not something that you're going to force on someone. I don't go to someone's house to argue with them scripture. But every now and then you go in someone's house or you go visit somebody, and when you get there and you begin to share the gospel, all of a sudden you can tell that they have an interest in what you're talking about. And when the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit, that's the time in which you witness. There's been times that I've knocked on 20 doors down the road and maybe only shared the gospel two or three times during the whole process. And somebody said, well, that's strange. I'll be honest with you. When you go in and you can't talk to them, they won't turn the TV off, they won't pay attention to anything you're saying, and they have no interest in hearing anything about the Lord, it's time to shake your dust off and go to the next house. Now, I want you to note some things. And first of all, let me say this. We do have different ones in the Bible that was very close to being saved. I believe the rich young ruler over there in the book of Mark that came running to Jesus, I believe he was sincere when he came. I believe he wanted to know that he had eternal life. But the only problem with him was he wanted to go a different way than was the way that he had to go. Instead of going by grace through faith, he wanted to go by his works. And he found out that his works came up short. And he wasn't willing to give up the possessions of the earth for salvation of his soul. He was close. He came to the right person. He knelt before him and came the right way. He came in a hurry. He asked good questions. But he walked away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to do what it took to be saved. There was another scribe that came to Jesus. And Jesus made a statement to him. He was sincere. He said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But yet, even though he recognized and Jesus told him he was not far, being a Jew and being in a position where he was, he did not want to pursue any further, because it would probably put him in situations he didn't want to be in the position he was in. And so there's no record that he was ever saved, even though he was very close. Agrippa, in a couple chapters over, he said, Paul almost now persuades me to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded. But yet there's no record that he was ever saved. I wonder what all three of them would give today if none of them ever got saved. I wonder what they give today to come back and change. Felix is the same way. He told Paul some more convenient season. He did talk to him several times, and we'll get into that. But there's no record that Felix ever got saved. That more convenient season never came. Now, look if you would, back in your Bibles, and notice in verse number 24. Trade this real quick. Thank you. In verse 24, the Bible says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, a Drusilla, which was a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So here they wanted to hear the gospel, the faith in Christ. Now, a couple things that's important to understand. And let me say this, you young people, listen to me. And older people. Salvation is the most important thing in your life. It's more important than what you're going to do with your future and your job. It's more important than riches. What would it profit you if you gained the whole world and in the end lose your soul? It's more important popularity. And some people, and by the way, there's a lot of movie stars, there's a lot of athletes, pro athletes, and people like that, singers and all that type of people, that and politicians that has people around them that just is yes people. All they ever hear, they tell them what they want to hear. How sad it's going to be one of these days when they die and go to hell and they recognize that Jesus wasn't impressed with them at all. Their popularity, their money, their politics, their family, their riches meant nothing. Only one thing meant something, and that's Christ. And so therefore, what you need to understand, popularity means nothing. I was watching this one thing, and they were showing this weightlifter. And man, he was huge. And he was lifting all this weight, and he was talking about the price he paid and how many hours and how much dedication that he put into to being what he was, what he'd become. And he'd stand there, and he'd tell about how many hours a day he would pose before the mirrors and look. And my question was, yeah, he had muscles on every inch of his body. But I wonder, Tony, where his soul was. I wonder if he had time for Jesus. And you know, if he lived to be 100 years old and had muscles on this earth, what's that going to help him if he dies and go to hell? What's it going to be? Now, there are several misconceptions. One is, people think they can get saved any way they want to get saved. That was Felix's problem. He wanted to get saved his way, not God's way. Many other ones that I mentioned, that was their problem. There's a whole lot of people that believes, and they really want to go to heaven. They have a knowledge. They've been around the Word of God. They understand Jesus was the Son of God. They understand He died upon the cross of Calvary. But they are determined to wait, and they're going to do it the way they want to do it. I often think whenever I hear Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley singing that song, "I Did It My Way," I wonder if they realize there's only one way that counts, and that's God's way. And so here, there's a lot of people that believe that they're going to do it their way. There's only one way, my friend, that's through Christ. No other way. Now, knowing that, but some people believe they'll get saved anytime they want to. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that God's got to be stirring the water if someone's going to get saved. I believe that God's got to be drawing you and convicting you. I don't believe that you can just wait and some convenient time, when it's good time for you, you'll go and get saved. I had a guy tell me one time, I was talking to him about his lost condition. And he wasn't willing to get saved. And I said, well, what if the Lord comes back? I said, what if you die? Well, he's healthy and he didn't expect to die. I said, what if the Lord comes back? He said, well, the minute I see the rapture happens, I'm going to get saved. I said, well, you don't understand Scripture. That's not the way it works. But I do want you to know something, young people and old people as well. And those of you who may be listening out there, you just don't get saved when you want to. God stirs the water. And when He's stirring the water, that's the time that you get saved. And if you notice, He stirred the water a little bit on Felix. That's why he trembled when he heard Paul preaching. Not only that, but I also want you to understand, some people say, well, preacher, I just have plenty of time. I'll take my time. I'm young. You can't boast of tomorrow. No one knows what a day may bring. That's why the Bible says today. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now let's look at Felix a minute, and I want to give you about six or seven things about Felix. I'm going to close. But I want you to look at some things in his life. Number one, look in verse 24, he was interested in the faith in Christ. He wanted to hear what Paul had to say. Now notice, he didn't come and gather himself together to hear about Paul's defense of himself with the Jews. He already knew what that argument was about. He wasn't sold on that. What he was sold on was he was wanting to hear what Paul said about this Jesus that had supposedly died and resurrected and so forth, and he wanted to hear about it. He was curious. There is a time when some people get curious about spiritual things. I tell parents this. Sometimes when their children, small children, begins to ask questions, I said, it's good that they're curious. That's a good sign when they become curious. But that doesn't mean they're ready for salvation. They need to grow to the point. But I think God begins to trouble them with questions, and they begin to ask questions they begin to find when they're younger. And then as they get a little older, they begin to understand. And whenever God gets ready to save them, and they get the age where he's going to call them, he'll trouble the water, he'll stir them, he'll call them, he'll draw them to him. But here we find Felix, evidently he had some interest in hearing about this. And so there was hope for Felix. The second thing I want you to know, in verse 25, the Bible says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. In other words, he must have been convicting. The Holy Spirit of God must have been dealing with Felix about it because he was scared. He was troubled about what he heard. Now let me let you in on this, and please listen. There's a popular denomination going around, and they call it by different names, but basically it all goes back to the same roots of hyper-Calvinism. Hyper-Calvinism teaches that you are predetermined and predestined to be saved. Nothing you can do as a little human being has any bearing on whether you're going to be saved or not. You can't buy into that doctrine. The doctrine is this: yes, you are nothing compared to God, but God comes to you. He stirs the water in your spirit or your soul. He draws you. He convicts you of sin. And then he leaves a choice at that time of what you're going to do with God. When God is stirring your water, that's the time you respond. Now, why? The reason why it's important to is because when God is stirring there, he's knocking, but when he knocks, he leaves it up to you to open the door. Why does God leave it up to you? Therefore, if you reject him, it's on you. You will not be able to blame God when you stand at that great white throne judgment. You will be blaming yourself because God invited you to come. I remember one guy. I was out surveying. He was known as a pretty wicked man. He drunk off a lot, cursed like a sailor, and he just did a lot of horrible things as far as in his lifestyle. And we was walking around, I was surveying his big farm that he bought. As a matter of fact, he'd won it in a poker game. And I was walking around in the woods, and I got back there with him, and I called him by name. I didn't know him up until this point, but I'd heard many things about him. And I asked him, we got a quiet moment for a moment, and I asked him. He was cursing and carrying on, and I called him by name, and I said, He was using God's name in vain. And I said, have you ever thought about what it's going to be when you stand before God? Have you made any preparation or thought of what you need to do to prepare for the time when you stand before God? I said, you don't believe that you're going to live forever. He said, no. And then all of a sudden, this old hard guy that was so bold and brass, he began to weep like a baby. And he began to cry, and he told me this. He said, there was a time when God convicted me about surrendering my heart to him. And he said, I did everything I could to reject him because I wanted to be rich. And he began to cry, and he said, now I'm rich, and he never knocks on my door no more. He said, I haven't felt him knock on my door. And he says, I'm going to die and go to hell. And I thought, how sad. How sad a situation. But I want you to understand, young people, listen to me. When God stirs and God knocks, it's on you. He has given you an invitation to come. And the Holy Spirit of God lets you know it's time to come, and you've got to choose to come. The third thing I want you to know about Felix is this. Verse 25. He told me, he said, go thy way for this time. He procrastinated for whatever reason. Here he is under conviction, but instead of submitting, he rejected it. Hell's full of people. Hell's full of people that sat in a service just like you're sitting tonight. The Holy Spirit of God stirred their water, invited them to come, and instead of coming, they rejected. For whatever reason. And let me just throw this into the church, and most of you are pretty good about this, but I want you to recognize this. Sometimes I have seen people that we have prayed for that's lost come to church. And they're family members of yours. And the first thing that happens when they come to church, in the middle of the invitation, the first thing I see somebody do is turn around and hand them a baby or something. Be smart. If God is stirring the waters, take your baby downstairs. Pray. Be silent. Forget about anything else on your mind. For some reason, Felix was so close, but he rejected it. Go that way some more time, some other time. Then look, if you would, in verse 25. He says, when I have a more convenient season. You see the misconception here. Was a misconception we talked about other people had. He wanted to do it on his terms, not God's terms. Salvation is not something that happens on your terms. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He didn't pick and choose when Jesus approached him. But if Paul had rejected him, I wonder where Paul would have been. Saul at the time. But the point being is this. Felix thought that he could just do it whenever he wanted to. Then we find that he had other motives besides Jesus. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. He hoped that also that money should have been given him. In other words, he was wanting something more than just Christ out of it. You know what? I've had people from bigger churches come to members of this church and tell them this. If you'll come over to our church, we'll make sure you get a good job. I've had people tell me, well, I went over there because I thought financially it'd be better for my business. I said, well, do you feel the Holy Spirit of God? Well, nah, it's too big a church for me. I don't feel nothing much over there. But you know, it opened up a lot of doors for my business. I'm afraid a lot of people, like Felix, they have alternative motives for wanting salvation. I told this lady one time, she was all the time requesting prayer for her husband, wanting him to go to church. Finally, he started coming to church with her, and then what happened is, when he started coming to church with her, next thing you know, every weekend they were planning on some place to go and something to do. And she'd take him out of church. And I told her this, I said, listen, and he never did get saved as far as I know. And I told her this, I said, you need to understand something. You shouldn't want somebody to get saved just because it'll be more convenient for you in your house. You ought to want somebody to get saved for the glory of God, that they would be able to get saved and wonderfully saved and have a relationship with Christ. Felix did not want just Christ. He wanted more out of it than that. And so here he hoped that somehow he would get money and he would benefit financially from it. Look on in verse 26 and 27 again. The Bible says, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, and that he might loose him whereof he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. And after 2 years. In other words, he kept bringing him up, kept talking to him. But you know something? Now listen to me. It never says again that Felix ever trembled. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can start rejecting Jesus in the church pew, and soon you get immune to the preaching of the gospel. And I hope that you don't bring your phones. And I hope that you don't play on things and you don't have all kinds of things going on during church service. Because I'll tell you what. It's easy, if you're not careful, for people to just get immune to the preaching of the gospel. Felix talked to him for 2 more years. But I noticed that his heart must have got hardened. And I tell you what. When people's hearts get hardened, it's hard to reach them. And you know, there was a time when teenagers, 15, 16, 18, 20 year old, you could reach pretty easy. Now it's hard to reach the 9 and 10 year olds at that level. Everything in the world has hardened their hearts. And they have gotten immune to the preaching. And so the Bible says that Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. He'd hardened his heart, rejected God, rejected Christ. He knew Paul was innocent. He knew what it was all about. But now it was more a political move. He didn't want to lose face. I wonder if him, King Agrippa II, King Agrippa I that killed James, Herod Antipas that killed John the Baptist, Herod the Great, her great-grandfather that had killed all those babies looking for Jesus, I wonder if they've met down in the pits of hell now. And I wonder if them and Pilate and many other politicians have decided political favor is not worth the price they had to pay. Tonight, I want to share this with you. You say, preacher, why preach a message like this? At the end of every year, it lets us know time is running out. And if you're going to make a decision, it's when God is dealing with you, and it's now. And if God is stirring your waters, you ought to be saved. People ask me and say, well, what should we do? What does God want us to do? He wants you to be saved. He wants you to follow the Lord in baptism. And then what he wants you to do is become a member of the church and become an active member of the church. And maybe tonight, God is dealing with your heart. And you need to come. If you feel the Lord stirring your waters, there'd be no greater time to come than right now. Because now is the accepted time with God. If God is stirring your waters, if you feel a bidding inside of you that you need to make a move, that's when you need to make that move. Why don't you come? You say, preacher, I'd like to have somebody come pray with. There's many people in here to come pray with you. Just be willing to come. Let's stand tonight and let's sing, brother, if you would. How about it tonight? Listen, if God is dealing with your heart, why don't you come? Maybe God sent this message just for you, and you need to come. Would you let him have his way tonight? Maybe you need to be